She's not only written songs for superstars, but also for songwriters, for some of the greatest songwriters of our time, Elton John, Neil Diamond, Trisha Yearwood, Roberta Flack, even Willie Nelson. But she also records some of her own songs, and her latest album is stellar. It's intergalactic. It's out of this world. How can I be so sure? Well, because the new album by Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Beth Nielsen-Chapman takes us on a journey of discovery. For The Mighty Sky is a collection of songs about astronomy for children of all ages, particularly those between 5 and 11 years of age. Beth Nielsen-Chapman, welcome.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's great to see you. First of all, why? Why would you write and produce an album of songs about astronomy?
Well, first of all, I think most people are fascinated by it. And I was particularly fascinated by it as a kid. And then I got to be friends with a fellow named Rocky Alvey, who runs the observatory in Nashville.
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
Great name for a songwriter.
Rocky
Alvey.
That's right.
But then when you find out that he had something to do with the observatory, that he was an astronomy nerd, why didn't you run? Why didn't you walk away?
Well, because his name is Rock, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, we were instant friends, and we did some. I did some of my workshops at the observatory, and I would get him to come in, and I would talk to people about creativity for several hours, and their heads would be spinning. And then he'd come in and talk about the universe, and you know how far this planet is from that, and all this stuff. And people just, you know, it makes you feel incredibly important at the same time as incredibly insignificant, because, you know, one way to look at it is you're this tiny little speck in this gigantic cosmos, and the other way to look at it is you're the center of the universe if you consider that you're standing where you're standing, and you have a 360
degree. You're the center of your universe, aren't
you? Well, you're the center of your universe, right? Yeah. And nobody owns that piece of real estate that you have, you know, that one spot where you have your vantage point. So it's a really interesting dynamic that I think people get in touch with when they really go and start to learn about stuff about the space and all that stuff.
It sounds like you were liberated by the notion of outer space rather than being restricted by the language that you would have to use.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, speaking of language, I mean, Rocky wrote the lyrics to this entire record. So I knew he liked to write songs. I knew he was a songwriter, but he had never done anything professionally as a songwriter on a scale of, you know, commercial, whatever.
Beth, weren't there warning signs here?
But when he showed me these lyrics and the beginnings of these songs, I just thought, these are amazing. And I really was drawn into the knowledge in them. So I started to write music to them. And so the ones that he had little musical starts, I, you know, developed further. And then I roped my dear friend Annie Roboff in to the process. She and I wrote This Kiss and, you know, Happy Girl and a bunch of different songs. And she's a wonderful songwriter. So we really got down into it then and just had so much fun writing these songs. We wrote different styles of music, you know, different musical styles for each one. You know, there's like one that
was did you set out with that spectrum to fill? Did you decide, right, I want one boogie woogie, I want one bluegrass,
you know, we followed the lyric, which was so interesting because I normally, all through the years of my songwriting, I always start with the melody and then the lyrics sort of find their way from the melody. And here I was handed these finished lyrics and in some cases some musical, you know, things that were on the way. And you know, like a song called Zodiacal Zydeco. It has to be a Zydeco song, you know. And I remember I don't know anything about how to write a Zydeco song. And I'm sitting there with Annie. I'm like, we got to write a Zydeco song. She goes, oh, I totally have that covered. So she's like, turn on the recorder and just starts doing this crazy piano thing. You know, and then I started singing in this weird voice. There are constellations in the sky, you know. And I don't know what overtook us, but we had so much fun. And there's a bluegrass song called "The Way That We Lean," which is it's about the axis of the earth. And
you see, axis of the earth. You're thinking to yourself, "There's nothing sexy about that. There's nothing musical about that." But there is.
Yeah.
Show us.
Okay.
Show
us. Here's "The Way That We Lean" as it ended up. Gotta get my bluegrass voice on. The changes of seasons affect all of life. The reasons aren't easily seen. It all has to do with the angle of light. Yes, it's all in the way that we lean. Our mothership Earth keeps us spinning around, creating each new day we've seen. Its axis of spin isn't straight up and down. It tilts 23 some degrees. It's all in the way that we're leaning, my friend. It's all in the way that we lean. In winter, summer, fall, and in spring, it's all in the way that we lean. Oh. Oh. In summer, Earth's farther away from the sun. In winter, it's closer, they say. So distance just isn't why you freeze your buns. Your hemisphere's tilting away. Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum. It's all in the way that we're leaning, my friend. It's all in the way that we lean. In winter, summer, fall, and in spring, it's all in the way that we lean. It's all in the way that we lean.
An orchestra. That's what you are. An entire orchestra. Beth Nielsen Chapman, that was brilliant.
Well, you know, it's so funny because it's a straight ahead bluegrass song. And then Annie goes, it's got to have a Magical Mystery Tour weird Beatley thing in the middle. You know, like something you would have put on the Sgt. Pepper's record. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, you know, like, oh. So we have a lot of fun when we do that with young kids because they just get a big kick out of doing that part, you know.
I read a quote from Mary Chapin Carpenter who said, it teaches as well as enriches the heart. Is that what you were hoping to achieve? And is that what all music hopes to achieve?
Yeah, I think that's about as good as it gets, really, you know. I mean, I actually learn lots of things through songs that I end up writing and I don't even know what I'm writing it about. And I'm sometimes learning a lesson about my own life, you know. When my husband died of cancer in 1994 and I did this record called Sand and Water, So many of those songs were me using that music to kind of find my way out of the forest of that grief, and it actually really, really helped me. And the great gift of that was when I was writing those songs to get myself through that, I wasn't even thinking about whether I was helping anybody else. It wasn't even, I was using it for purely selfish reasons. And the great gift is, you know, through all these years, I still to this day get wonderful feedback from people and you know, hear that, hey, I went through this terrible loss and these songs really helped me to heal. And I just feel like, you know, that's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
And I know that other people's music has done that for me as well. So I think we all have this wonderful opportunity to use this tool, you know, nothing does it better than that, you know.
Just on that subject, you're a breast cancer survivor, an environmental activist, teacher of workshops, lecturer on the magic of creativity, which I love. But which of those is the most important to you?
Wow. You know, I think they all kind of go to the same thing. And if you all really distilled it down to the center, it's creative expression, I think, that most fascinates me. And human beings in the way that they are breathe through their life with creative expression and how people get stuck. And some people just think, I'm not creative and it makes me crazy. I just go, give me 15 minutes and I will show you that you're creative. And being creative has nothing to do with what the output is. It just has to do with understanding that the capacity is there. So you might have somebody who just doesn't have, you know, if you think of creative flow, you know, the creative energy all around, think of it as oxygen. And some people can take a deeper breath than others, but that doesn't necessarily have to stay that way. So I believe in the recovery of a person's creative opportunities, that it's all in there. You have to be able to understand you have permission to use it. Sometimes people think they don't have permission to be that good, you know.
Beautifully put.
Yeah, well, I just think it's one of the most important things about being in the world, really, to get to be able to nurture that, you know, in yourself and in other people.
Yeah, because we are all individual, and it's what makes us wonderful.
Yeah, Absolutely.
It's great.
And, you know, a lot of my students will come in, they'll say, you know, I don't know, I could never write a song like Joni Mitchell. I go, and she could never write your song either, you know. So you have this little piece of real estate, which is looking out from behind your eyes, and nobody can tell that story. You're it. You're it. You're the CEO. You're the king of the universe, of that spot, of the center of that universe. So when you allow your ego to go, well, yeah, maybe, okay, you know, because, you know, our egos are our worst enemy. So you get the ego sort of distracted with that idea, then a lot of times the creative flow just starts happening right away.
Really, so get those shoulders back. That's it,
right.
Isn't it? Yep.
Yep.
Shift them back.
Yeah.
Speaking of the creative process, I remember years ago when I chatted to you, you explained to me about the song This Kiss that was Grammy nominated, that Faith Hill recorded. Fantastic song that you wrote. And how you got the vibe for that, or the feeling for it in studio, by using Elvis Costello's Every Day I Write the Book. Would you show me again? How did you do
that? Well, you know, we had that like, it's the way you love me, it's a feeling like this, it's centrifugal motion, that kind of feel. And Annie, who's a wonderful producer and, you know, was one of the co-writers, Annie Roboff, she walked in the studio and she said, put on that Elvis Costello song, Every Day I Write the Book. And it goes, bum, bum, bum. Bum bum dun 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 dun. Every day, every day I write the book the way you love me. You know, and it's one of those things that the feeling of that record really informed the way that we ended up recording the demo for that song.
Wonderful. It's a great song, as is the album. Love it. Beth, lovely to see you. Thank you very
too.
Much for calling
you
in.
You too. And I
loved it. The Mighty
the
Sky.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great album. And
well,
thank you for educating, enlightening, and entertaining us.